The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 10th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on a sunny and chilly Wednesday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. Tons to get to on today's show. More college football conversation as we begin to slowly look ahead to the 2026 season, plus some more reactions to the drama that is going on around college football. A couple of great guests today. We'll hit on some college basketball as well, and of course everything that is on your mind. But Christian, happy Wednesday, sir. How are you as we are almost halfway through the week?
Yeah, it's crazy to think. Halfway through the week, almost halfway through December.
Gross.
We're halfway through, if not more than halfway through our shows for December. I mean, it's...
Have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
Some.
I haven't. I haven't bought a single gift.
Some. That's.
I am the most last-minute shopper that exists and is known to man.
I've been known to give a couple receipts. This is coming, I promise. It's just
classic.
Not here yet.
Yeah.
This was...
Print out the order confirmation.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
what
been
it is.
There. No, I can't buy stuff
that
online.
That are those e-gift cards the morning of?
Ooh, yeah. That's really last minute.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't buy online. My mom, I was telling my mom the other day, I was like, yeah, I still got to do all my Christmas shopping. She was like, Amazon's a great tool. It's a great resource. Telling me, like, I don't know what the largest marketplace in the free world is.
Yeah, do you know that it has, like, two-day shipping?
That's literally, I swear to God, that's exactly
what
she said. She's like, you can get here in 2 days. I said, yes, Mom, I understand. But Amazon is too big. There's too many options. There's too much going on. So I like to take one evening. I try to knock off work early, like right after the show, and I go out and I try to knock out all my Christmas shopping in one night. It's exhilarating. But it's fun. I actually enjoy it. But one night's about all I got in me.
That's fair.
That's the most I can deal with the people and the traffic and... the traffic again, because oh God, it's horrible. But
thankfully everything is calm when you like walk into the stores now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Once you get inside, it's fine. I mean, you don't bump into people.
No.
And you don't have to wait in 20-minute lines and, you know, walk around people that don't understand that there are other people in the store. Yeah, it's fantastic. So just checking in, see if you've done your Christmas shopping yet.
No, I have done a little bit of it, but not all of it. So we need to get that worked out, man. Gosh, yeah, today's the 10th already. That's crazy.
2 weeks from tomorrow is Christmas Day.
Surprise. For anybody else that...
Happy holidays.
Yeah, figures out that information. Yeah. We got a great show scheduled up for you today. We're talking about the Auburn football schedule in 2026. The official release, I believe there's a show on Thursday. If not, it's just the SEC releasing everybody's...
Is it Thursday or next Tuesday?
Oh, gosh, I thought I saw something about Thursday.
And I think it's like the official schedule release. I'll look it up. Keep going.
Okay, yes. Well, again, whether that's a show or whether that's just the official announcements, either on Thursday or
it is Thursday.
Next
You're right.
Tuesday.
Yep. The specific dates will be revealed in a special ESPN SEC Network show on Thursday, December 11th. That is tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, there we go.
So there you go.
So, again, we know the opponents, not quite the order or the dates or anything like that. But wanted to dive into just the schedule as a whole because four of the nine conference games that Auburn will play are against first-year head coaches at their new program. Not first-year head coaches. Only one of those is a first-year head coach. But a first-year head coach at their respective programs. So we'll dive into that. We'll talk about maybe some early unfair expectations of what a winning quote-unquote season could look like, if there's a number in there, because we've talked a lot about how the 2026 schedule is just absolutely brutal. You now throw in a first-year head coach, and you throw in a bunch of new guys and a bunch of new different positions, both on the coaching side and the player side of things. And so if we have a number in our mind that makes it look ultra impressive to show you that Alex Golish, although he wants to win right away, even if he can get to a certain number, shows that he has the right formula to be able to win in the future. We'll also talk about how, while Notre Dame was declining bowl games going 10-2, there's another program in the SEC that is excited to play football.
Because they like playing
and,
football.
Some quotes from the head coach. Yeah, talked about how they like to play football and used this word called accountability. And said that we had control over this and we didn't get it done. It's crazy how the two different side of things. And we'll legitimately just have some thoughts about Vanderbilt football and how if they want to throw money towards their football program, Clark Lee's one of the best in the business. And I think you could see some success from that program, but how much of that is going to come with this graduating class next year. We also got Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 here joining us, as he does every single Wednesday at 2:30, to talk about the SEC championship and how the gentleman from on the line both predicted what this game was going to look like, and it looked a lot like it. Also, the college football playoff picture as a whole, as Georgia most likely awaits the Ole Miss Rebels as an SEC opponent in the quarterfinals. We'll take you back to that game in the regular season and how there were some crazy stats that came out of that game, and then hit Georgia football, or Georgia basketball rather, on the way out before we talk about college basketball as a whole. We hit it yesterday about some of the great games that took place last night and possibly this weekend. Last night, man, it was absolutely
it was
fantastic
wild.
Basketball. Both games in Madison Square Garden were the instant classics that you see the little graphics being thrown up. Both of those were really, really good basketball games. Man, and you got to feel for Florida fans who continue to play really, really tough games but just can't seem to pull out a win. The only difference is when they play the number one and number two team in the country, it looks good.
Yeah. So we feel. We understand. But, yeah, so all that coming up here in hour number one, and we're going to have some fun on today's show. So outside of our two guests today, we have Jordan Hill at 2:30, Daryl Dappert coming up at 3. Outside of those two guests, you can be a part of the show if you would like to, 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390, to give us a call, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And you mentioned it, that tomorrow is the schedule release show. We'll probably mention it a little bit tomorrow, but we have more time today to talk about it. And it's fascinating because this is the first time we've seen a 9-game SEC schedule. And people, I think, are forgetting that we're moving to that for the first time ever, which, of course, reflects what is happening in the Big Ten, what reflects what's happening in the Big 12. And we knew this was coming. It was going to happen eventually. The SEC pushed back on it for quite some time, and eventually they gave in. And there are pros and there are cons and things like that. One reminder is now the SEC teams must play another Power 4 team with their final two games outside of SEC play, or their final three outside of SEC play. So that's exciting. And what I like about this, the 9-game schedule, yes, you pick up the extra SEC team in general, but now you will see every team in the conference at least once over a 2-year period. It's on a rotation. You have your three permanent opponents. Everybody else rotates. So there will not be this law of where Georgia and Texas A&M didn't play each other for the first 8 or 9 years that the Aggies were a part of the Southeastern Conference, right? That's ridiculous. That should have never happened. That makes zero sense in my brain, which isn't the biggest, but it can't comprehend that, right? That won't happen anymore. every team will be on your schedule on rotation, and you will see them several times in several years.
Yeah, it's basically you, again, have your three permanent opponents, and Auburn's record, or Auburn's schedule, rather, in 2026 is almost identical but flipped with 2028. And then 2027 is basically the same but flipped with 2029. And so, yeah, you're going to see teams and see these rivalries come back, if that word rivalry means anything, in 26 and 27 based off of what the true college football playoff format looks like. But as of right now in 2026, you get the Florida rivalry, you get LSU, you get Ole Miss back, you get Tennessee back, who you feel like you haven't played in forever. Was COVID the last time that Auburn played Tennessee?
That seems right. I think so.
I don't really want to remember that football game.
No, I don't want to remember the last couple of times Auburn has played Tennessee.
No, that's fair. Gosh, that last one, that was Stidham and Anthony Schwartz, the comeback route that he turned the corner and scored on, and that was Auburn's only touchdown.
Yeah, they were in Jordan-Hare last time, and I was there, and I heard Rocky Top a lot.
That was COVID, wasn't it?
No, I think it was before. Was that COVID?
I think it was. Because I remember I was watching on TV.
Now I got to look. Anyway.
That was with...
I feel like that was a full stadium.
Jarrett
Am I crazy?
Too? Or Garantano?
Am I insane here? Hold on. Let's find out. My memory is not great. Auburn played in 2018. That was in... That's the game I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the 2018 game where Tennessee came in and... Well, maybe I am thinking of the 2020 game.
Was the 2020 game it not was, like the 21-7?
It was 2018. It was 2018. It was. It was 2018 because Tennessee came to Auburn and they beat us 30-24.
That was the full stadium game. That was the game when Smoke Monday had the pick six that got called back.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Auburn was a top 25 team.
So that was what you're thinking of, but
yes.
Auburn did play after that.
Yes,
that
they did play in
COVID. That was the 11 a.m. game.
That's the one that Auburn won. Auburn won that game 30-17 against Tennessee. In COVID, November of 2020. I don't know what you're thinking of. The game in 2018 is what I'm thinking of. Mid-October 2018, Tennessee came and dropped 30 on Auburn and Jordan-Hare. Because I heard Rocky Top a bunch. Auburn, I think Auburn scored late in that game, maybe. Because I don't remember that being a one-score game. But
oh, man, I don't remember. What. Okay,
I was there for that one. I was a senior in high school. I made the trip down for that for whatever reason. I was there for that. Which that'll make some people feel bad. Before that game, Auburn had dominated. Auburn had won six in a row against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee had not beaten Auburn in this millennium.
Most memorable, the Corey Grant kick return and punt return touchdown inside Neyland Stadium.
In Knoxville. That
with
was fantastic.
Nick Marshall.
2013. That's when Auburn dropped 55 on them in Neyland. That was fantastic.
We're pulling these from the back of our brain.
That was fun. I remember watching that on my phone in Ohio because I was not here. I was 13 years old.
We're talking about 12 years ago saying the back of our brain and other people are sitting there. I remember Auburn, Tennessee from...
Yeah, I was 13 years old. But yeah, think about that though. That's so crazy for Auburn, Tennessee. Again, who are going to play coming up in 2026? Before that win in 2018 in Jordan-Hare, Tennessee had not beat Auburn since 1999. That's so wild to think about. That's so crazy. But I'm excited for that game. I'm excited to have Tennessee on the schedule. Tennessee's on the schedule. Ole Miss is back on the schedule. Mississippi State is back on the schedule. Vanderbilt, a part of your permanent opponents. The younger crowd like us, LSU, back on the schedule is exciting. Right, that was one we were sad to lose. You play Florida again next year. And so... we don't know the order. We will tomorrow, right? Tomorrow night, the SEC releases the full SEC football schedule with dates, right, for every team, every opponent and things. Auburn will go to Alabama, to Georgia, to Mississippi State, to Ole Miss, and to Tennessee. That's right. You have five SEC road games and four
Just
SEC
going back,
home
putting a,
games.
Putting a bow on it. I was also talking about the COVID year. I thought it was a lower scoring game than that. For some reason, I thought that was the only touchdown that Auburn scored in that game for some reason. No, I was thinking of that 30-24 game.
See, I don't remember Auburn having that within a score either. I remember Tennessee having that in control.
Yes.
That 2018 season, if we want to reminisce on that even longer. That's also the year. Am I thinking of this correctly? I think so.
Gosh, okay, yeah. So that touchdown came late in the second quarter and gave Auburn a 17-10 lead.
In 2018?
Yeah. No.
In 2020?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember the 2020 game. I remember a couple confused. Of 2020 games. Yeah, you're hurting.
Because if this was Stidham, it would have been 18. Because he was here 17 and 18.
Yeah.
That's what it was. We were confusing ourselves before the show because our boss Steve was sitting here. We were talking about Jarrett Stidham. He said, what, that was 19 and 20, right? And we were like, yeah.
No, that was 17, 18.
But we said yes, and I think that was what threw my mind off before even getting to this conversation because
2020 was not Jarrett Stidham.
No.
That was
19 and 20 with Bo.
That was Bo.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. 2018.
Professionalism.
Yeah, we're great at what we do. looking at 2018, again, just for reminiscence sake, that is when I attended the hottest game I have ever been a part of in the history of my existence.
Is that the LSU game when they had to start? That was the first game that Auburn put those giant water jugs and allowed people to bring water bottles in, wasn't it?
It wasn't that game. It was because of that game.
Okay, yeah.
Auburn LSU, September 15th of 2018, was the hottest game that I've ever been a part of. And I think this conversation comes up once a year on this show because people always text us on the hottest games they've ever been a part of, and there are several of them, and some monsoons that they've been a part of. I went to Auburn, Arkansas in the COVID year. That was a monsoon. Yeah. That was had a ton of dramatics there. No, yeah, September 15th, 2018. Auburn loses to LSU on a last-second field goal.
Cole Tracy 42-yarder.
22-21 in a top 15 matchup where the stadium ran out of water in the second half. Ran out. Had no more bottles of water. None. People were passing out in the concourse, left and right, including my father, who got up and went to the restroom and just never came back. And turns out, he had also passed out in the concourse. Jeez. And so we got a fun ride from Jordan-Hare on a golf cart all the way to the edge of Toomer's Corner, which is the furthest they were legally allowed to take us.
Heck yeah.
Because that's the edge of campus.
And that was the game that we got the soundbite of Joe Burrow, was it not? That this place was loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Burrow went 15 of 34.
Because then Auburn went to LSU the next year and had every chance to win that game with one of the greatest defenses that Auburn has ever had, but couldn't score more than three touchdowns.
Yeah, it was 23-21, right?
Yep, 23-20, actually.
23-20, okay.
Yep. So, good times. Good reminiscence here on this on this Wednesday. We love talking about losses, reminiscing on Auburn football losing games.
Huh. You want to know what I thought about? Again, we're starting the show the way we did yesterday, which is funny. The very first game, let me fact check this before I say anything. The very first Auburn game that I can vividly remember going to was a night game in 2007.
Wow. 2007.
With South Florida coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I remember we were walking into Jordan-Hare, and again, it was a night game. And the entire crowd was standing outside, walking in with their tickets, was chanting Tiger Meat. And South Florida walked in and beat Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium 26-23.
You were at that game? Oof.
I don't know how, but that's the first vivid game that I can remember going to. I'm sure there's bits and pieces, but I remember that pregame. And so, not a true connection, but funny that Golish coming from South Florida. I'm sure he has big ties to that South Florida team in 2007.
I'm sure he does. My first Auburn game, I'll never forget it. It's funny that it was this school in particular. 2007 was my first Auburn game. It was September 22nd of 2007 when New Mexico State came to town. Auburn won the game 55-20. It's just funny that New Mexico State came back all those years later and, you know, beat Auburn. Yeah, 2007 was my first Auburn game.
Man.
Yeah, how about that? Against New Mexico State, who then came back to Jordan-Hare and lost in 2012, and then came back to Jordan-Hare in 2023 and got the victory. by 3 scores, in case people forgot. 31-10. Not just a win, not a field goal or a last second touchdown. No. That's the only games we've been reminiscing on the first 20 minutes. We were like, man, I remember that one time we went to Jordan Hare and watched Auburn get their butt kicked against this team. Oh, yeah, I remember watching Auburn when they lost this game. Like, do we want to reminisce on good games? I can reminisce on Iron Bowls I've been to. I can reminisce on some Georgia games I've been to, which haven't been many wins.
These are just more frequent and more recent.
Yeah. I swear we're attempting to tie this back to the original conversation, which we will get to after the break.
Of Auburn bringing back rivalries.
Yeah, of Auburn having teams like Tennessee and LSU
and South Florida and New Mexico State, big time rivalries being renewed.
No, there is no New Mexico State on the schedule next year. Thank the Lord for that.
Auburn will probably never schedule them again.
I don't think I would. No. And I definitely ain't paying them to come here.
We're having a legit conversation if Auburn High is ever going to schedule Lee Scott again.
Yeah. Want to play football?
No, I'm okay.
All right, let's get to break. We're going to get fired. Okay, 334-321-1390. It's the phone line number. Give us a call. Chime in on whatever the heck we're talking about. We'll talk more college football and talk about Auburn's schedule for 2026 right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We've got our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about Georgia winning the SEC championship game, what that meant for them in terms of their playoff seeding, and what their path looks like coming up in just a couple of weeks. Plus, we'll talk to him about Georgia basketball as well as we inch closer to the start of SEC play. But is there anything in particular, Christian, you're looking for tomorrow night in terms of the schedule release for Auburn? Again, that's tomorrow night, 7 Central, SEC Network and ESPN doing a whole schedule release show. We know the opponents and we know where, but tomorrow we will know when, right? We'll know the dates. We'll know how they're all stacked up. You and I were just talking during the break and trying to find a way that Auburn doesn't get screwed in all of this, because the schedule itself, just the opponents and the locations, are hard enough.
Yeah, let me read those to you. You're Vanderbilt at home, at Alabama, at Georgia. You then get Arkansas at home, Florida at home, LSU at home, and then you go to Ole Miss, to State, and to Tennessee.
Again, not in that order.
No, but 5 road games. At Alabama, SEC, at Georgia, at Ole Miss, at Mississippi State, and at Tennessee.
And then, of course, with the 9-game schedule, you'll play 5 road games, 4 home games. The next year it'll flip. You'll play 5 home games and 4 road games. It will flip every single year. And the schedule you see tomorrow night will then be flipped in 2028.
Yes.
And then 27 and 29 are paired together. So I like how they did that to break it up, unlike these past 2 years where it was the same exact schedule, just flipped on home and away.
Yeah, you didn't even change calendar dates. They just printed out the exact same one and just
same
switched
weekend.
The at and the verse.
Yeah, pretty much. And so the home slate next year, could it be good? Yes, it absolutely could. Right, and the talking point here, while we have a couple of minutes, is the idea that Auburn gets Arkansas, Florida, LSU, Vanderbilt at home. Those are your 4. Remember, because Auburn sold off the Baylor game, and you have Southern Miss and Jacksonville State. So we'll count the 4 SEC games. 3 of them have new head coaches. Arkansas with Ryan Silverfield from Memphis. Florida with John Summerall from Tulane, which is fascinating that he gets to come to Jordan-Hare. And then Lane Kiffin gets to take his new LSU Tigers into Jordan-Hare Stadium.
And technically 4 because of Golding.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of home games. But yes, Ole Miss with a new head coach as well, with Pete Golding. Yeah,
4
right.
In total. But yes, 3 quote-unquote new first-year head coaches at their program. Yeah, come into Jordan-Hare Stadium early on.
And so those games could be good, right? The Florida game could be good. The LSU game could be good. The Arkansas game, I guess, could be good. The Vanderbilt game could be good, right? Depending on who's playing quarterback for Vanderbilt. And they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country just signed with them. I don't know if he'll be the starter as a freshman, but we'll see.
Yeah, Jared Curtis from Nashville.
Yeah, what a grab. What a get for Vanderbilt. I mean, I know they're going to pay the kid.
Did you hear, again, off tangent a little bit, but everything that Vanderbilt did to get him to sign, he was getting like...
I didn't see the details.
He was getting like personal conversations with Theo Vaughn, and
were
sending like the two of them to dinner with like Drewski and all of those guys basically to try and get him to come.
So all the famous people that didn't have a football team to cheer for and they just decided was the one Nashville.
Because of Diego Pavio. Yeah, it's the same thing you're seeing with Pavio, how they all go out together. Yeah, that they were basically bringing Jared along with them.
Well, see, here's my thing for Vanderbilt. If they want to be successful in football, take some of that tuition money they're making and put it towards the football program. Would you like to know how much it costs to go to Vanderbilt for one academic year for 2025-2026? Do you want to know what the internet told me how much it costs to go to Vanderbilt, all the doctors go?
The internet's not lying.
Internet's true. If it's on there, it's true. That's what I was told. $94,000 a year to go to Vanderbilt University. Take half of that and put it in your football program.
For all you know, that's what Clark Lee demanded before he signed his extension.
Good for him if he did. Good for him. If Vanderbilt wants to be serious, just don't pump out as many doctors and put it into the football program. That's completely broken, but you know what? If that's where you want to put your priorities,
we don't need more doctors. We need more offensive linemen, okay?
We need more football players. No. Oh, that's totally backwards. Okay, we talk to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 right after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we welcome in our first guest of the afternoon, a guy who joins us from just outside of Athens, Georgia, a guy who's with us every single Wednesday and covers the Georgia Bulldogs better than anybody. He is Jordan Hill, who writes for Dogs 247. Jordan, we appreciate you joining us as always. And another year, another championship in Athens. I'm sure the fans aren't even excited at this point, are they?
Yeah, they just kind of sit there watch by it at this point. And I was really going out on a limb, guys, before the season. I picked Georgia versus Alabama in the SEC title game and had Georgia win and wound up being proven right. Now, did I stick with that pick last week? Of course not. But, you know, it's better to be right once than to be wrong the entire time.
All I know is now you can claim that forever, and that's why everybody needs to follow you and everything, because you say it confidently and you can use that as a soundbite or use that as the article forever.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not going to let anybody forget. I can promise you that much.
Well, man, we appreciate you hopping on with us as always. And there is a ton to go over, including Georgia football winning the SEC championship game once again. Kirby Smart has made a second home in Atlanta from, I think he's got an underground tunnel from Athens to Atlanta, it seems like, at this point. And Georgia not just wins the SEC championship game, they dominated the SEC championship game, scoring a touchdown in every quarter, holding Alabama to just one score late in that football game, and it really wasn't even as close as the score showed. What impressed you the most about what Georgia did last Saturday at Mercedes-Benz?
Has to be the defense. I mean, they just kept Alabama in check. Alabama ended up with -3 rushing yards, which Cole Kublik looked up. It's only the second time in Alabama football history they've had negative yards at the end of a game. And you mentioned they had the one touchdown drive, but other than that, I mean, Georgia locked them down. Multiple three and outs. Alabama just never was able to get anything going. And you look at the September game compared to this one, the two things that just stood out as drastically different for Georgia. The biggest thing was the pass rush. They just did a much better job this time. They got 3 sacks, and even besides the sacks, did a much better job of pressuring Ty Simpson, made sure he never got comfortable. And I think that was a huge part of the reason why Alabama couldn't really move the ball. And the other one was secondary, which on the whole played okay in the first game. They struggled in the first half, really locked in the second, and they just did not let Alabama generate a lot of big plays down the field. It was a situation when you looked at the plays Alabama did make, a lot of them were yards after the catch. A lot of them were throws right around the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage, and guys were able to find a little bit of room. But Alabama took some shots, especially late in that game, and just wasn't able to connect. And a lot of it is due to the way the secondary played. The defensive backs like Ellis Robinson, K.J. Bolden, Daylon Everett, those guys. Rayshon Dinkins, who made his first start, played really well at the star position. And just quickly on offense, you know, wasn't the most productive day offensively, but the thing that they deserve a lot of credit for, they capitalized. They made the most of any opportunity they got. The short field after the block punt, the field they got, they were right around midfield after Daylon Everett had an interception. And then late in the game when Alabama had a turnover on downs, they made sure to cash in and score a touchdown there. So opportunistic offense, dominant defense. You do that and play that way, you got a good chance of winning any game you're in.
Jordan, how much has Zachariah Branch opened up this offense? It's been somebody that we talked a lot about when he first transferred from Southern Cal. Again, the junior from Las Vegas, who you don't want to say was underutilized in the first couple of weeks, but only three grabs for 17 yards. But it was really Saturday, October 11th, against Auburn, where he had 9 grabs for 57 yards, that you felt like he became the go-to guy. 9 receptions, 8 receptions, 10 against Florida for over 100 yards, 8 against State, 6 against Texas, 4, 5, and 5, also a touchdown in that SEC championship game. How much has he opened up this entire passing game for Gunnar Stockton and for Kirby Smart's offense?
Yeah, he's been huge. He's especially been big since Colby Young got hurt in the Ole Miss game. Those two guys at the time were kind of the go-to guys. Well, with Colby unavailable, it's really been Zachariah Branch. And I mean, I'd have to start with what Zachariah is able to do when he gets the ball. He cuts on a dime. He's able to change direction very easily. He's got the speed. You've seen him break those big plays. He had the touchdown that basically sealed the deal in the fourth quarter after that Alabama turnover on downs. Had about a 12-yard touchdown catch on the screen. But really, I think something that is undervalued and easy to overlook when you look at Zachariah Branch is he forces the defense to pay so much attention to him. They have to pay attention to what he's doing. It opens up opportunities elsewhere. There was a big throwing catch from Gunnar Stockton to Lawson Lucky. And going back and rewatching the game, you can see that they have Zachariah Branch kind of floating out into the flat. And the Alabama defense sees it, and they're keying in on him because he's the most dangerous guy on the field. Well, that opens up the opportunity for Lawson Lucky down the right sideline, and it was about an 18-yard catch. So, you know, a lot of credit due to Mike Bobo, who is a Broyles Award finalist for the second time in 3 years. He's done a good job of not only making sure there are ways to get Zachariah Branch the football, but also he's used him as a decoy, as a weapon that defenses know they have to respect, which opens up opportunities elsewhere.
Georgia wins the SEC championship. They do so by dominating Alabama. And because of that, they become the 3 seed in the college football playoff. We're talking to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, who covers Georgia better than anybody. He's our weekly guest here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika. Georgia, the 3 seed with Indiana at the 1, Ohio State at the 2, Dogs are the 3, and Texas Tech is the 4. Are Georgia fans are upset about Georgia not jumping Ohio State? Is it not really a big deal? And then, Jordan, your thoughts on the Dogs awaiting the winner of Tulane or a rematch with Ole Miss?
Yeah, there was some conversation on Sunday about, well, should Georgia have jumped Ohio State given how things played out on Championship Saturday? I honestly think it might have played out for the better for Georgia that they didn't. I mean, they're going to play either an Ole Miss team they've already beaten at home, which now does not have Lane Kiffin, or a Tulane team that just pulled off a massive upset. And you've got the Tulane coach, the future Florida coach, trying to pull double duty and try to play Georgia. And then you look ahead, and likely you think you'll play Ohio State. And I think Georgia's got a really clear path to, you know, if they can get to that game against Ohio State, having a chance to win that game, that would be out in Glendale, Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl. I think the path is pretty clear with the competition ahead. I mean, because it would either be Ohio State or the winner of Miami Texas A&M. Now, for storyline's sake, I would really like to see Miami make a run. The Carson Beck Georgia talk would just we would have nothing else to talk about that week, guys. But no, I think the way that this pass set up, I think Georgia should kind of be grateful they're in the three seed. I think it's very easy to see them being able to win two games to get to the national title. And, you know, I'm really fascinated to see if they're able to take care of either Ole Miss or Tulane, what that matchup in the semifinals will wind up looking like.
Georgia gets the first round bye, and they will play in the All-State Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day, the night game, the 7 p.m. Eastern kick against most likely, again, Ole Miss. And, Jordan, want to take you back to the regular season with Ole Miss and Georgia inside inside Sanford Stadium between the hedges, and it was a back-and-forth game. It was a wild contest where there were only two punts in the entire game, both with Ole Miss on their last two possessions. Georgia scores 17 unanswered points in that fourth quarter to win it 43-35. You mentioned not having Lane Kiffin is obviously going to play a very big factor, but what are some things that could possibly concern you just with the explosiveness of the Ole Miss offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just the fact that they've still got all those players. And I do think there's an element of, hey, look, this Ole Miss team has something to prove. They still have Pete Golding, who I've honestly really enjoyed listening to him talk in the lead up to their game against Tulane. And I think there's going to be a chip on these guys' shoulders. And I think that they're going to say, look, you know, we lost one game at Georgia, a game that, you know, they were up 9. I think that was early in the fourth quarter. And then the Georgia defense really stepped up, made some stops. We're good enough to beat that team on a neutral side and prove to everybody, hey, look, this wasn't just all Lane Kiffin. You know, the players were the ones making the throws and catching the balls and playing well on defense. So I think that's sort of, to me, when you look at it, if Ole Miss is able to take care of Tulane, it's an Ole Miss team that's got nothing to lose. And we've seen teams in the past, you know, with an interim coach, not necessarily in the playoff, but in the bowl game, in some big BCS games back in the day where they have an interim coach and they kind of rally around that guy. And I think that there's a lot of value there. And, you know, this Ole Miss team down the stretch of the regular season, they had no choice but to face a lot of questions because of the Lane Kiffin conversation. Hey, what's he doing? Have you decided what it means for the players? All that stuff's out of the way now. So we'll get a better sense of this Ole Miss team when they play Tulane, but yeah, it's a very dangerous team. They scored touchdowns on their first 5 drives against Georgia, and then Georgia really clamped down late. Now, I think this Georgia defense has taken a lot of steps forward since that game, but they would know if they play Ole Miss that it is a very dangerous offense, even without Lane Kiffin there.
Well, Jordan, before we get to basketball, there's some news floating around the internet. And of course, if it's on the interwebs, it's absolutely true. But it seems to be building momentum and working its way to be true. It impacts Georgia and also impacts Auburn as well. With Tennessee on the schedule, reports are that Tennessee, after firing their defensive coordinator this week, they are moving towards hiring Jim Knowles, the former defensive coordinator at Ohio State, former defensive coordinator, of course, this past season at Penn State, who won a title in Columbus. Tennessee moving towards hiring Jim Knowles as their next defensive coordinator. What a hire that would be in Knoxville and the shockwave that would send throughout the SEC.
Yeah, that'd be a really good hire by Josh Heupel. We'll say this. Georgia does not have to play Tennessee in 2026. So I'm sure Kirby Smart saying, yeah, go ahead and make that hire. It's not really going to affect us next year. But, you know, it could be a situation where that defense, you know, that was a defense that I think didn't live up to high expectations. I mean, they moved on from Tim Banks, a guy that was a Boyles Award finalist last year. So that would be a huge hire for Tennessee. It would be a very, very good hire, in my opinion.
Jordan, are you happy? I guess we haven't gotten your overall thoughts about it. We know the official schedule coming out tomorrow evening, but I guess we haven't really gotten your thoughts on Georgia's three permanent opponents, being Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina. Do you like those three teams? Do you wish that Tennessee was one of those opponents, or do you like how everything stacks up for Georgia over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I actually think they did a really good job making it Florida, Auburn, and South Carolina. I think Florida and Auburn were pretty much a lock. I think everybody was in agreement there. And it really seemed like the prevailing thought the last few years was that it was going to be Kentucky because of competitive balance and also just, you know, Kentucky needing those rivals. But I always thought South Carolina made the most sense because you've got that border war for Georgia and South Carolina. It's a rivalry that goes back even before South Carolina joined the SEC. And you consider, you know, when you look at it from South Carolina's perspective, in the conference, I would say it's pretty clearly that Georgia's their biggest rival. You probably throw Florida in there, and they've had some good games with Tennessee along the way, too. So I think they did a great job, and I honestly don't envy the conference in trying to figure out those perfect three opponents for everybody. It's just not easy to do with 16 teams, but I think they got it right with Georgia. And there are folks who want to see Tennessee. I'm someone from North Georgia, so I got a lot of family that are Tennessee fans or grew up with Tennessee fans. So I understand that side of it, but I think they did the best they could making South Carolina that third permanent opponent.
And one more topic before we let you go, Georgia basketball. Funny enough, since the last time we talked to you, they haven't played. They're going to be off for, 11 days in between their beatdown of Florida State in the SEC-ACC Challenge and then taking on Cincinnati coming up over the weekend. And look, their only loss was by 3 to a Clemson team that looked pretty darn good against a top 10 BYU last night. So Georgia's got to be feeling pretty good. Any concerns about 11 days off in between the Florida State game and Cincinnati coming up this weekend?
Yeah, and the Clemson game you mentioned, they actually took them to overtime, so they weren't able to get that done in regulation. You know, we're actually going to have a chance to talk to Mike White and a couple players probably in about half an hour and kind of check in on how the last few days have been. I'm sure that they would have preferred to keep playing because they were playing really, really well, and I think that Florida State game, especially considering it was on the road, was probably their most impressive win so far this year. But we'll have a chance to check in with them. And really interested, they're going to be part of Holiday Hoops Giving on Saturday. I know Auburn's playing in that too. Georgia getting ready to play a Cincinnati team that took it to played really close with Xavier. I think that was on Friday. And that's a team that Georgia played, that they played in the Charleston tournament right before they took on that Clemson team. So they got an opponent coming up that's pretty solid and has played a common opponent, which I think will help him prep. But yeah, I think they would have preferred to keep playing, but hey, got a little break, was able to take care of some final exams, and now they're on to basketball. I think they got 3 or 4 games left in 2025 before they turn their attention to Auburn, that first SEC game of 2026.
Jordan, a little bit of a weekend off. Again, you're mentioning Georgia basketball right now. Are you making your way to the Benz over the next couple of weekends to watch any GHSA state championships?
Unfortunately, I'm not, and our guy Ben Wolk, who covers recruiting for us, he'll have that locked down, but it's been nice, Georgia getting a bye. There's still plenty to talk about. We obviously still have basketball going on, but it's been a nice chance to catch my breath a little bit, kind of spending these next couple of days doing some Christmas shopping, because it's going to be very, very busy these next few days, but I will keep an eye on these GHSA games. We're really gearing up for some really fun championships in a couple weeks.
Well, tell the people where they can find everything you guys have going on, Jordan, at Dogs247 over the next several weeks.
Definitely, Dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at Dogs247. Got the Junkyard Dogcast podcast, and like we said, a lot going on right now. Georgia gearing up for the playoff. It'll be fun 2 weekends from now to follow that Tulane Ole Miss game, get a sense of what Georgia's going to be up against when we get to New Year's Day. Got basketball going on, as we mentioned, Georgia-Cincinnati on Saturday. And, busy time of year, but fun time. Hope folks will follow along with us over there on the Junkyard and enjoy this holiday season and get a little bit of football and basketball in the mix as well.
Jordan, we appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the slow period because it's going to ramp up very soon again for you over in Athens. And we'll try to catch you again next week before the Christmas holiday.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Jordan Hill, Dogs247. Check him out for all your Georgia coverage. He does it better than anybody, talking about Georgia football, Georgia basketball. Him and his counterparts talk recruiting over there with the Junkyard Dog and things. And so go check them out. Again, Dogs247. If you're a part of the Auburn 247 crew with those amazing guys, you get the same access with Dogs247, just talking about Georgia stuff. So go check it out, Dogs247.com.
Isn't it really interesting how – again, I guess you're not too big on this side of things, but Georgia starts their football season, Georgia high school that is, starts their football season a week earlier than Alabama's does, and they're still playing.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah,
in every class except for the Super 7, which isn't necessarily a thing anymore, they're still in the semis, so they still have one more week until the championship game And then the state championship next week, all going on in Mercedes-Benz.
Is it always, has it always been at Mercedes-Benz, or was it
used to be the Georgia Dome?
The Georgia Dome, yeah. Well, I guess that gives them a little bit of grace because they're playing inside, right? For Super 7 in Alabama, it was either at Bryant-Denny, Jordan-Hare, and now it's at, why can I not think of Birmingham Stadium, UAB Stadium? I cannot think of it. It's up there in Birmingham. Don't tell me, but it has slipped my mind. Dude, why can I?
Protective Stadium.
I told you not to tell me, man.
You weren't getting there.
Yes, I was.
No.
Stop. I was getting there, bro.
You weren't getting there.
I was getting. Anyway, Georgia, the state of Georgia at least has that going for them where they can play their state championships indoors so you don't have to worry about it being, you know, 28 degrees outside.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's always, it was, it's a lot of fun. And being in that environment is always really cool because they basically funnel games in. And so while you're watching the third and fourth quarter of your game, the other fan bases start showing up.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
All of the teams from the other classifications always want one team to win rather than the other. And so half the time they all go sit on one side
that's
and make
cool.
it make it yeah. like three teams versus one.
Yeah, that's cool.
To cheer for that. So all of that to mention Buford plays Carrollton in the state championship. That's number one versus number four in the country, which is a whole lot of fun. That's next Tuesday.
I will take Buford minus 28.5. Yes. Okay. We
get it done, Coach App.
Yeah, we got to get to break. We will come back, have a quick segment, and then get into hour number two, where we're talking more college football, more coaching hires, and also it's Double D Wednesday. All that coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Have about a minute or so on the way out here, and here's what's coming up in hour number two. It is Wednesday, which means it's Double D Wednesday. So Daryl Dapperch of Locked On Auburn in the Barn, he's going to join us coming up just a few minutes after the hour, about 10 minutes from now. So if you got to get out of the car for any reason, get in the store, get back in the car, and make sure you're in it when Daryl Dapperch joins us, or if you're listening online or on the app, then just leave it on. We'll talk to Daryl coming up in about 10 minutes, get his thoughts on more coaching hires for Auburn football. More have been confirmed, and more are on the way. So we'll talk about that. Also get his thoughts on Auburn basketball. Yes, they were blown out by Arizona, but Daryl had a really cool time, it sounds like, out in Arizona covering that game, plus where Auburn goes from here for basketball, football, and a whole lot more. So we'll talk to Double D to start hour number two. Plus, we'll talk about some of those coaching hires, some portal entries and things for Auburn, and answer the question from yesterday on which positions for Auburn could be the best next season. All of that coming up in hour number two. Stick around. It's coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a sunny day in the Auburn-Opelika area. And if you missed any of our number one, we covered a lot, but kind of didn't cover a lot at the same time. It's impressive, really, when you think about it. And if you heard it, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, go back and listen, and then you'll know what we're talking about. In our number one, we talked college football. We talked about the schedule release coming out tomorrow for the SEC. Of course, the conference moving to 9 games for the first time ever. So, talked about that, what Auburn's schedule could look like, how that impacts the future, and then we talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, covering all things Georgia athletics with football. Right, the Dogs winning the SEC championship game, being the 3 seed in the college football playoff, and Jordan says that's beneficial for the Dogs, and I can't say I disagree with the path that they have, especially compared to Ohio State. And so I talked about that. Plus, Georgia basketball gets back on the hardwood. They'll be in the same building as Auburn this Saturday for the Holiday Hoops Giving event in downtown Atlanta. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show that we put up on our station website for you each and every day at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we're about to get our guy Daryl Daprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn here with us on the phone lines to start Double D Wednesdays in hour number two, where he will recap the Auburn-Arizona game kind of on a personal level as well as on a professional level, again, as he grew up at the McKay Center. And so a really cool moment for him as he was able to travel back and cover the Auburn Tigers, but in the gym that he basically grew up going to games at. We'll talk about some things that Auburn lacks going from a good team to a great team. And is that any possibility this year? Can that be fixed this year? Or are there just a couple teams that are just, again, a cut above the rest of the field? We'll also talk Auburn football coaching additions in hour number two, some more portal entries for Auburn football as well. And then, again, the question that Jacob brought up yesterday that we didn't really have too much time to talk about, but wanted to be able to spend a little bit of time talking about it today. Which positions for Auburn football could be the best next season based off of retention, based off of possible portal options? We'll talk about all of that here in hour number two.
And so as we get Double D on the phones, again, no phone line open while we're talking to him. The text box is open, though, the rest of the show and during every single show at 334-784-1067. You can always send us your thoughts, your questions, your comments there at 334-784-1067. You can also give us a call as soon as we're done talking with Daryl Daprich at 334-321-1390. As we're going to talk to him for about 15, 20 minutes or so. Again, cover a lot of things, basketball, football, and such with him. But again, text box is open at 334-784-1067. And then the phone lines will be open as soon as we're done talking to Daryl at 334-321-1390. So we appreciate you listening in. However you're tuned in, whether it's on 106.7 on your radio dial, ESPNAU.com, or that Radio Alabama app, however you're tuned in, we appreciate you doing so. And we do get to the phone lines to start hour number two for Double D Wednesday, and we got our man Daryl Daprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn. Double D, it's good to talk to you on this Wednesday, and we gotta start out with it, brother. Talk to us. How was it out in Arizona? How was your trip? How was the stadium? How was the game? Tell us the whole story about your trip out there last week.
Well, it was, first of all, thanks for having me on again. I'm glad to be with you guys. It was really great. I think from a basketball standpoint, the basketball purist standpoint, it's always a great place to watch a basketball game. And I had forgotten really how electric that arena can be and how loud it can be. And so it was surreal. I mean, I truly fell in love with the game of basketball in that arena, especially college basketball. And yet there I was, getting angrier and angrier and angrier as that game started to slip away. And, you know, it was just one of those situations where it was beautiful to come back home. It was a great homecoming. Had an opportunity to see a lot of old friends, classmates, teammates. And the real cool part was that there was a lot of people at that game that didn't know I was going to be in town. So as the people that were there that I'd gone with, that had been kind of hanging out with the whole week, started like letting people know that I was there. When we went live to do the show for Locked On Auburn, I was like surrounded by about 30 people that I had grown up with and stuff. And it was pretty cool. And they were taking pictures and watching the show and that kind of thing. So again, I was happy to be there, but I did not leave that arena in a really good mood basketball wise. And I forgot how hateful and mean and nasty some of the Arizona fans were. I was like, man, I don't remember being that way. The Zona Zoo is pretty brutal.
And no their, way their you were not section. a hateful fan back in the day, Daryl.
I was not. Now, we were seated right next to the Zona Zoo. So to go to the media or communications room, as they call it, I had to walk through there. And I had a locked on Auburn pullover, and they were relentless. And so, you know, I had to share with some of them that I had been right where they were. And been there, been a college student, you know, and even though I didn't go to the University of Arizona when I was in college, I went to a lot of their games because I went to school up north. And then a few other nice, kind pleasantries were exchanged and went on my way. So it was fun. They're brutal. It was funny. They played Welcome to the Jungle 15 minutes before tip-off. And I'm like, are they trying to fire Auburn up? I mean, this is Auburn music right here. But at the end of the day, it was a, you know, for the first half, it was competitive, and then too much size, too much strength, too much depth. Arizona is really the real deal, and they inside, they're very difficult. Defensively, they did some things to Auburn that I haven't seen done in a while, as far as pressuring the ball and double teaming at the top of the key. And they just, like I said, they've got a lot of depth. And even though they don't shoot a lot of threes, it's because they don't have to. And I think when they want to, they can make them. So that's a complete basketball team. In my opinion, best team in the nation. We'll see how that plays out. Of course, they got a big game in Birmingham with Alabama. And that'll be interesting to see, you know, the comparison. Different situation playing in Birmingham than playing in McHale. And but Alabama likes to shoot threes like crazy. And Arizona will extend on them. So it should be a really entertaining game. I just don't think the depth is there. I think Arizona has too much. They are definitely a Final Four contender.
Daryl, sticking on the personal level, did you ever go and meet with that reporter that made that article about you in baseball when you were
never
middle school
up.
Or high school?
He wasn't there.
He knew. He fled.
Yeah, he knew. I think word got around. No, he had a placard, right, where he was supposed to sit on media row, and one of his cohorts, who also was a great beat writer, covered high schools and the University of Arizona, was two seats next to me. And I hadn't seen him in years, and we exchanged pleasantries, and we talked for a long time. And I shared that story, and he said, well, you ain't got to worry about it because he don't show up to half the games, and especially, you know, non-conference games. So, yeah, that was the only bucket list checkmark item that I wasn't able to close the chapter on.
Well, I hate that. I hate that ruined the whole trip, Daryl. No, I'm just kidding. It sounds like you did have a really good time and happy for you that you got to do that from a personal and a professional level.
Let me say this, too. I have to say this because of where we are. I had the opportunity the night before, kind of just like one of those spur-of-the-moment things where I kind of got a wild hair and decided I was going to try to do it. And I went to shoot around Friday night when the team arrived. And I had the opportunity through the Auburn SID office, Ted Feely, who's new there, and Kirk Sampson, really hooked me up to get there, be at the shoot around Friday night when the team literally got from the airport, right? They skipped the hotel. They went right to the arena. And Coach Stephen Pearl couldn't have been more gracious, gave me a one-on-one 10-minute private interview that we posted on Locked On Auburn. And it was really cool. And he was, like I said, couldn't be more gracious, more accommodating. And then he invited us to just stay and watch practice. And got a chance to talk to some of the players and kind of get the vibe and everything. So it was really great. You can see that interview on Locked On Auburn. But it was, again, I'm very thankful for the opportunity that was presented there and how gracious they were to do that.
Well, Daryl, before we move on to football, because there's a lot to cover in a short amount of time here today, as we do have Daryl Dapperidge of Locked On Auburn and the Barn with us on the phone lines. Does it sound like you're overly concerned about Auburn basketball, right, with their losses so far this season coming to the number one team in the country, now a top five Michigan team and a top five Arizona team? Doesn't seem like you're overly concerned as the Tigers have three non-con games left.
I'm not as concerned that they've lost these games. There is a little bit of a concern of how they lost them. I mean, I did not, as good as Arizona is, I still didn't think Auburn was going to get blown out. And I didn't think they were going to get blown out by Michigan. Of course, the Houston game was very competitive and very close. But, you know, that's the only concern I have, is that it was just so out of reach in the second half. And I think that is all due to size. I think, you know, Auburn can play a certain style, but if shots aren't falling and they're not getting to the free throw line, it's going to be hard. And so, you know, that's the concern I have. I will say this. I mean, I still see a path where Auburn can go into the non-conference or go to the conference schedule 10-3. You know, I mean, I think they can beat Purdue. I know it's in Indianapolis, but it's not unheard of. I think they should beat, obviously, Chattanooga and Queens. And so there's a good possibility that they could go into their conference schedule 10-3, which isn't bad when you consider how brutal of a non-conference schedule they played. So, and I do think the SEC is different this year. Maybe a little more balanced, but I don't think it's as top-heavy. And I think there's night in, night out, you'll see a lot of upsets or a lot of games that go the other direction that people thought they would be. So I think they're in good shape. I think they just need to clean up some defensive miscommunications and some things that I saw from a ball handling standpoint concern me a little bit if a team really gets into them defensively. But again, even if you, you know, don't beat Purdue and you go into the conference schedule 9-4, I think you're in good shape to win some games in the SEC slate and then go down to the NCAA tournament.
Well, Darryl, we flip over to the gridiron with head coach Alex Golish now completing basically his first week on the Plains, and you have now had 3 offensive players, 4 defensive players not enter the portal, but plan to enter the portal, and thankfully there's been no outside conversations with any other schools because you're not allowed to do that right now, and we thank and trust everything to keep going as planned. But again, Jackson Arnold, Horatio Fields entered last night. Perry Thompson, Antonio Coleman, Caleb Wheatland, Amon Langanis, and Rayon Strader. Your thoughts on that group as a whole or any individual guys that surprised you a little bit by entering the portal?
None of that really surprised me. I know this receiver room is going to be, if Coleman and Simmons and Singleton stay, which we don't know, and then if Golish goes and gets a couple receivers in the portal. I did like Horatio Fields a lot, and I really think he could have helped Auburn down the stretch. And his injury was, I think, hurt Auburn at the time more than people thought, because he was becoming Auburn's possession receiver. Remember how Auburn had the dropsies in the season, but Horatio Fields didn't. In the Baylor game, 3rd and 9, he made a great catch to extend a drive that ended up being the game-winning drive, and he was tough over the middle. So I hated seeing him leave because I think he's a leader and a good possession receiver. And then, of course, there's still a high ceiling on Perry Thompson, too, which is difficult to see him leave because I thought he was starting to show flashes.
Yeah.
Strader just get lost in the numbers, right? I mean, the defensive back room is so deep. And I'm not shocked at all by the Jackson Arnold situation because he sees, I think, the writing on the wall as well in the quarterback room.
Well, then, of course, with the portal entries, we've also seen Alex Golish and Auburn announce several of the coaching additions. Of course, the retainment of DJ Durkin. We talked about that last week. But other guys on defense, most of the offensive staff, and now, what, 7 or 8 guys have been confirmed for Auburn, 5 or 6 of them coming from South Florida. Your thoughts just overall, Darryl, about what Alex Golish has done with his coaching staff, the off-field staff, the general manager, guys like that, and then maybe one of them that stands out to you the most?
Yeah, you know, the previous 2 coaches had a lot of splash hires on their staff. Remember how excited everyone was for Bobo and Derek Mason, right? And then Hugh Freeze hired Montgomery and Roberts. Phillip Montgomery was a former head coach. So there was all this splash and well-known and people talking about knocking it out of the park with these coordinators, and it never panned out. It just, for whatever reason, didn't mesh. So maybe Golish is taking a different approach of bringing along guys that, you know, aren't the splash hires or the well-known names, but served him well on his staff as a head coach when he was at South Florida. And I think that's the guy that just, I believe Cameron Hutzler, who's the guy that was just announced an hour ago, who is the outside linebacker's edge coach that came from Mississippi State. He was Mississippi State's defensive coordinator one time. He also coached at Alabama. I really like that one. That's an industry name. And then DeMarcus Van Dyke, who's the corner coach. Weston McGriff, Crime, had coached him. And, you know, he knows well of him and speaks highly of him. And he coached at Miami, FIU, and South Florida. At Miami, he was also the recruiting specialist. So you like to have that combination as well. And I think, you know, retaining Von Trell was a big deal. You know, as far as the general manager, I was a little bit surprised that Will Redmond didn't get retained. But again, it's about surrounding yourself with the people that you trust and analytics and following a plan. So I would have to say, you know, if there was one or two that really stood out, it was Van Dyke and then the edge coach from Mississippi State that they just hired. And there's a couple more spots, and then that staff should be rounded out in time for portal time, which is so going to be so weird this year because there's just one. But everyone needs to understand that one is going to come with large numbers, because people that might have been on the fence in the old scenario and said, well, I'll just wait and see what the spring does and jump in the spring.
Not anymore.
May go now or go in January. And so your numbers may be huge. As far, Auburn lost 23 players in the portal last year. They've already lost 8. I think they'll exceed the 23 that they lost last year.
You think so? And do you think that's because Golish and the staff can't retain them, they don't want to retain them, or just the guaranteed turnover that comes with a head coach?
All three. Okay. I mean, I know that's a cop-out, but, you know, I subscribe to the theory, guys, that it's never just one thing, right?
Two things can be true.
True at once, sometimes more than that. And I think it's always when people start to find absolutes and look for absolutes and say, this is the reason, it never is. It's usually more than one. And I think what you've just said nails it. I think there are certain players that might go that Alex Golish really, really wants to keep. There are some players that he's nudged out the door and will continue to nudge out the door. And then there's just the law of averages that says this is what's going to happen in college football. There's always going to be roster turnover, and you know, and this is just the day and age that we are. What I think the key is I think it'll be very, very imperative for their staff when the bloodletting starts and people start to jump in the portal to quickly announce guys coming back in the other way. Now, just because you go in the portal doesn't mean you have to announce your intentions on where you're going to go. Sometimes people wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But I think there are some that'll move rather quickly. And I think Auburn, as much as they can, needs to get these kids to get in here that they're targeting in the portal and announce they're coming to Auburn, so that when players are leaving, it lessens the impact when you can announce players coming in.
Makes sense to me. I mean, it's a big game of chess. There's no doubt about it. And it's been a very busy week or so for Alex Golish, the new head coach of Auburn football. He is Daryl Dapperich from Locked On Auburn and the Barneys with us every Wednesday for Double D Wednesday to start hour number two. My man, we always appreciate your time. And again, just tickled to death to hear that you had such a good time out in Arizona last week and got to do that from a work standpoint and got to see so many people. And with all the great content that you produced and continue to produce with Zach and the guys, tell the people where they can find it and what they need to know.
Wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, this Spotify rap thing has been really, really interesting, really cool, especially for an old like me. I'm like, what is this? I kept getting tagged and stuff on X, and it was really neat. It was really appreciated, and so I would retweet it with people talking about the top podcasts and top listens for the year, and we are very, very appreciative and humbled by how many people had us, you know, as their top listen. So you can catch me typically Wednesdays and Fridays. This week it's Thursday and Friday on Locked On Auburn, YouTube as well. Barncast, we go live Sunday nights at 8 p.m. with Kyle Rush, Zach, and I. So just a lot of fun, a lot of good content. It's slowed down a little bit, but then it's going to pick right back up with the college football playoff and the portal. It'll ramp back up with getting some of your news that way.
Well, with everything going on, again, just can't express how appreciative we are of you and your friendship and your time each and every week here on the show, and we look forward to doing it again next Wednesday, okay?
All right, you guys have a great week.
Thanks so much. Daryl Dapperich, Double D, joining us here on the airwaves, as he does every single Wednesday to start the show on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about something. Well, we got college basketball on tap, college football, all sorts of things. We'll talk about that and bring it back locally to Auburn as we did with Daryl right there. We'll have that coming up for you next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Couple of minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show, and they will be for the rest of the show. 334-321-1390. I know it's a little bit more difficult when we have a couple of guests, especially when they're basically back-to-back, like Jordan Hill in hour number one, and just got off the phone with Daryl Dapperich in this second hour. But phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. I did want to make this shout-out that the College Football Hall of Fame just put in an Auburn Tiger, a former Auburn Tiger. That's right, as last night, former Auburn linebacker Greg Carr got inducted into the Hall of Fame for college football. Played linebacker at Auburn from 1981 to 1984. He was an All-American. Also ranks second in the program with 453 career tackles. That's pretty impressive. Especially, I mean, talking early 80s football like this. It's a different, just a completely different brand, a completely different era, but one that is very exciting to see Auburn get represented in the College Football Hall of Fame. Again, Greg Carr, early 80s linebacker and an All-American from Auburn, was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. Grew up watching him.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame. What was your favorite play from Mr. Greg Carr?
Ooh, that hit that he made at the line of scrimmage.
I remember when he set the record for second all time, 453rd tackle. I remember it.
I don't remember that one. I remember the 451st. Yeah. That was a modern day, would have been targeting, but just ended up being a really clean, really good hit.
Yeah. No, all jokes aside, it is really cool and something that Auburn should be proud of.
Yes.
The Carr family should be proud of, and I'm sure there will be some recognition coming up next year in the college football season. But coming up in our next segment, we are going to stick with football and answer the question that we posed yesterday, and we actually posed it to Alex Golish on Monday in his presser, and he didn't answer it. Not a bad way, but he didn't answer it because he simply didn't know the answer, but we're going to try and answer it for him. We'll talk about and kind of rank the positions that we think could be the best for Auburn football next season, based off recruiting, based off retention, and based off the portal, or RPR, the retention, portal, and recruiting. That's what we came up with, right? High-level stuff there. Based off of those three things, which positions do we think could be the best for Auburn, the most impactful for Auburn, or even the most important for Auburn in 2026? We'll talk about that question, and we want your input as well. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. The text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. We answer that question and more right after this, and we've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of today's show, you absolutely can at 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we posed a question yesterday, Christian. And didn't quite get to answer it because we asked Alex Golish about it on Monday, and then we didn't get to it on Tuesday. So, in, you know, proper on-the-line fashion, we're getting to it on Wednesday.
Sure.
Because that's how we operate. And it's absolutely a hypothetical. And there really is no right or wrong answer here. But we will find out what the answer is or what the answers are come the 2026 season. And the question that I asked Alex Golish that I'm asking you and asking our listeners is this. Based off the roster right now, plus the retention efforts that the staff is putting in, plus the recruiting class that Auburn just signed, and whatever portal additions you can make, which that one's a little trickier, but just bear with me here. Which positions for Auburn football do you think could be the best in 2026? Which ones could be the strongest? Which ones could be the most impactful? Which ones do you have the most confidence in, right? What positions stand out to you for which could be the best ones on Auburn football's team in 2026?
When you look at the team as a whole, I mean, I still think that the wide receiver room, even with Horatio Fields, even with Perry Thompson, both planning on entering the transfer portal, I still think that, at least again, as of right now, there's still a lot that has to be done with Eric Singleton, with Cam Coleman, with a bunch of those other guys, with Malcolm Simmons. And then you bring in the recruiting class in there as well. If you can get Keyshawn Singleton or somebody like that to enter the transfer portal from South Florida, I think the receiver room is still very, very interesting and could be very, very exciting to see. And again, in an explosive offense, you hope that you have a good receiver room. But then I'm going to still stick with the side of the ball that I feel like everybody has the most confidence in, and that's the defense. And you could either say the secondary or that linebacker room. I mean, if Xavier Atkins is an Auburn Tiger next year, you feel like that immediately puts that entire class towards the top of all of the classes, or all of the position groups, rather, in college football, even, just because Xavier Atkins is one of the best in the entire country at his position. How many times have we talked about his name on the show, and how many times it's almost like you run a box and one in basketball, where everybody has their assignment, and then there's one person that's guarding the best player, not allowing him to touch the basketball.
Yeah,
it's kind of how it is in football with Xavier Atkins. And there's times where DJ Durkin is, all right, everybody has the assignment. X, go find the football.
Literally do whatever you want to do. Like, if you think dropping back in coverage and covering this dude is the right move, go for it. If you want to go after the football, go for it. If you want to spy the quarterback, go for it.
And it may not be that simple, but that's how simple he makes the game look.
No doubt about it, and it's definitely not that simple. But you look at what Auburn's roster is, right? And sure, you're going to lose some guys because of eligibility, and you're losing guys because of the NFL draft. And no, we can go ahead and stop talking about the idea of Keldrick Falk returning for another year. That's not going to happen. Never know. Auburn could get a donation or something to pay him. You look at just which guys could hang around. And it's tough nowadays because you've got so many of these guys with extra years of eligibility and fighting for extra years of eligibility. And you don't. The problem with this question is you don't know what's happening in the transfer portal just yet. You don't know who's leaving. You don't know who's coming in. And the conversation we had with Daryl, right, was you don't know what Alex Golish is doing in terms of who he wants to keep on this roster, who he doesn't want to keep on this roster, what the position coaches are doing, because Alex Golish has had conversations with these guys. Auburn just announced 7 new hires in the last 24 hours. You think that the new cornerbacks coach, DVD, wants to go talk to the dudes in the secondary? Probably. You think the new offensive coordinator wants to talk to the running backs and the receivers and the quarterbacks? Yeah. Probably. And if those players, I say this in a mean way, but I don't mean it, if they have respect, you would hope that they would at least give those coaches a chance to talk to them and be like, hey, can I get to know you?
Yeah.
Like, let's have a man-to-man conversation. Let's talk this thing out, and let's see if this is the right fit for one another on a fixed relationship that we just got put into, right? So that's a tough question to answer. Again, talking about which positions we think could be the best for Auburn football in 2026. And it's easy to say the receivers if you're able to retain as many as possible, Perry not being one of those. But I think linebacker, as you mentioned, could still be one of the strengths of this team, especially with DJ Durkin on that side of the football.
You look at the guys that are in that room right now, because that's where I was about to double down. You have DeMarcus Riddick, who's going to be a junior. You have Bryce Diaz, who's going to be a sophomore. I don't know if he played in four games. Otherwise, he's a freshman. You have Elijah Melendez, who's going to be a sophomore. You have Xavier Atkins. Just those four guys in itself make that room really, really good.
Yeah, you do. And then, you know, some of the more underrated positions, right? Defensive line / defensive end and the edge spot, right? I mean, kind of just looping them all together to make it for simpler conversation. I mean, yes, you're going to lose some guys, but I think that is one that you could be excited about, especially since, your two highest-rated high school recruits were on the defensive line, and you will see how much of their impact or how much they play early, right? But I think defensive line could be a strength for Auburn in 2026. Secondary, I don't know. The question I think you have to answer first is, was the secondary a strength for Auburn in 2025? And then, can it be improved upon in 2026 with DVD, your new secondaries coach, with Alex Goish announcing that today, that DeMarcus Van Dyke will now be your cornerbacks coach for Auburn?
You have the names. I mean, Caleb Harris, Sylvester Smith. You have Champ as a junior. You have Kensley Adore Faustin. You have Anquan Fagans, Eric Winters, Tay Seymour. I mean, you have the names in the backfield, in that secondary, that could be a really, really good group. But, yeah, you do need to see some more improvements, at least snap by snap. When you look at it drive by drive, it's not as – or maybe not even drive by drive, but game by game, you didn't really see that as a big weakness. That being said, when you looked at the pass defense and Auburn ranked in the bottom half of all of college football, that is where there's a little bit of concern. That being said, when you go and you look at the points and you look at how everything works, you don't feel like you have too many complaints, but you go back and you watch every single drive and how many times is it 3rd and 8 and you heard the entire stadium joke about, all right, how does this team get a first down?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's 3rd down and long and you feel like they're going
to
convert.
Which is kind of getting back to the bend, don't break idea that DJ Durkin has coached his defense on. Not that he is pronouncing it that way or coaching it that way, but on the scoreboard, Auburn defensively did its job in every game last year other than Vanderbilt, right? Other than Vanderbilt, Auburn defensively on the scoreboard did what it needed to do to put their team in a position to win the football game. Now, giving up chunk plays, giving up miscommunication bombs, giving up 3rd and 8s and 3rd and 10s and 3rd and 12s over and over and over again, all of those things add up over a quarter, over a game, over a season to wear a defense down, to take an offense out of its rhythm that's already struggling like it did a year ago. And those things add up. And I think a lot of that was on the secondary. But the thing that you said that excites me is the names are there.
Yeah.
And you bring so many of them back. You have a couple of young puppies coming in too in your recruiting class. You can go in the secondary, whether you're talking about the corner, the safety, the nickel, whatever you want to talk about, again, just kind of looping all that together here for sake of conversation, that's one of those spots where you could just go get as many dudes as you want to. As long as you've got the room and in today's era, as long as you've got the money to pay them competitively, man, go get as many guys as you can because you can never have enough of them back there. You can never have enough guys in the secondary that can make plays for you. And
doubling down on that, the fact that when Auburn announced the Yellowwood starting lineups every game, they didn't announce all of the defensive backs. They literally showed their picture for all of them because you know they're all going to play.
Yeah, exactly. And so looking at Auburn statistically a year ago in the passing game and focusing on the secondary, I know the pass yards are not great, but that's where Auburn's ideology of we'll give up yards, we're just not going to give up points. It's fine, right? Auburn, as a team, had 11 interceptions a year ago. Thing is, two of those came from Elijah Melendez, who's a linebacker. Xavier Atkins had one, who's a linebacker, right? And 11 sounds pretty good, and I think it is. But reading up on DeMarcus Van Dyke and some of his numbers when he was at South Florida, man, last year, South Florida had 14 interceptions from the secondary, which was top 15 in the country.
Yeah.
And they give up yards, too.
They did.
but they forced turnovers.
And Auburn, what, had three of those against Arkansas?
So when you go
and you weigh that, because it was, what, four fourth-quarter turnovers, one of those was a fumble.
Yikes.
And three interceptions. So, I mean, obviously, again, if you get two or three in a game, it adds a little bit of an outlier. But I don't feel like this Auburn team last year was known for taking away the football.
No, I don't think so, especially not in huge, timely scenarios, which you feel like has been missing from Auburn as of late. And so my answer is again, in general terms, the secondary. I'm not going to pick a specific position yet on corner or safety or whatever, but I think there's room to grow. There's room to improve. And I just have a feeling that keeping DJ Durkin and bringing in some of these guys who have ties with DJ Durkin, have either coached or been coached by or whatever by DJ, I just feel like the secondary has room to grow. I think they've got the dudes to do it. I think you're putting together the coaching staff to do so. So that's going to be my answer. I think in 2026, Auburn football's secondary will be a strength of that team.
It's a funny question. The pushback that you can get is, well, what's going to be the worst? And you hate using that word worst, but a big asterisk, a big question mark for what this team is going to look like because of what Alex Golish wants to do at the offensive end of the field. He said multiple times he wants to be a team that runs the football first. He wants explosive plays on the ground, so that way that goes back to the staff from last year talking about not being able to run the football because we couldn't get explosives in the pass game. You now, in the introductory press conference, heard Alex Golish say, we want to run the football, and that's going to be first. We want explosives in the run game, so that way we can get explosives in the pass game.
Is that how that works?
And that itself is pretty refreshing. Yeah, you know, the age-old term, if you run the football well, it opens up the play-action pass because the safeties sink down.
Wild.
Yeah, crazy how that works. But the offensive line is a very big question mark going forward, because if Alex Golis wants to run the football, Auburn's run offense was fine. However, the pass was the worst in the country, and you're graduating a couple seniors, so who is he going to try and go target in the portal? Who is he getting to try and beef up to be that starting five for next year?
We got to get to break, but before we do, there's breaking news in college football. Holy smokes. The University of Michigan has fired their head football coach, Sharon Moore, after two seasons. For cause.
Oh,
after
gosh.
A university investigation. Sharon Moore has been fired by the University of Michigan as the head football coach in Ann Arbor. Quote, University of Michigan head football coach Sharon Moore has been terminated with cause effective immediately following a university investigation. Credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. End quote. Wow. Holy smokes. That's a bomb. Holy smokes. That is, oh man. So a questionable situation, a murky situation since he took over as the head coach, comes to a crashing halt in Ann Arbor. Again, breaking news in college football less than 10 minutes ago. Sharon Moore has been fired by the University of Michigan as the head football coach. And quote, University of Michigan's head football coach Sharon Moore has been terminated with cause effective immediately. Following a university investigation, credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Man. Well, we'll talk about that and wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Major breaking news in college football as we wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Got a couple of minutes on our way out here. If you have missed it, it has just sent the college football world in a spiral. Breaking news is that the University of Michigan has fired their head football coach, Sharon Moore. After 2 years, he was fired with cause. effective immediately. Following a university investigation, credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Michigan goes on to say this conduct constitutes a clear violation of university policy, and UM maintains zero tolerance for such behavior.
You ready for what I was waiting to tell you over the break?
Oh, goodness. I don't know.
If only there was a place that really wanted a quarterback last year that's from the state of Louisiana.
Ah.
Going to a place that's willing to pray him with a new coach.
Mm.
Bryce Underwood, you're an LSU Tiger.
Would you say that he may end up at the place that he was committed to and then flipped to because of a paycheck? Could be.
Yeah, before Barstool got involved.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, the aftermath of that is going to be insane with the talent that's on that Michigan team and the money that is around Michigan football. And now, after it seems like the coaching carousel has come to a grinding halt, it started up again. Knock off the dust on the control panel, hit the start button, get it going again. Michigan is now looking for a new head coach. And imagine, I'm not saying something like this happened, and I hate to hear that it was because of something like that. Again, a university investigation found inappropriate relationships with a staff member. That's obviously not good, right? But imagine if Michigan was looking for its new head coach a month ago when everybody else was. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that that would have been the biggest job in the country, the biggest opening in the country. With that logo, those fans, Jordan, the money, the Big Ten, right? I mean, it still is one of the, when the Michigan job comes open, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. Problem is, everybody's already found their head coach. And now you got to figure out where you go, right? If you're Michigan, wow, that's crazy. Again, breaking news, if you're just now tuning in, we got about a minute or so before we wrap up. What's been a busy show today, talking college football, a little bit of college basketball. We had Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, had Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the barn. We talked about coaching hires. We've talked all sorts of stuff today, but man, I mean, that's insane. Breaking news, Michigan. The University of Michigan has fired their head football coach, Sherrone Moore, effective immediately for cause, as a university investigation found with credible evidence that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member, and the University of Michigan maintains zero tolerance for such behavior, as Biff Poggi will take over as interim head coach for their bowl game coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Michigan had the 11th ranked recruiting class in the 2026 class.
Ouch.
So imagine signing a week ago, 6 days ago.
Yeah, I think this constitutes as a way to get out of that NLI, I would imagine. And remember, there is no extra portal or anything for a fired coach in this instance. Everything just opens up in January, and recruiting's going to be wild, and my goodness. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I'm sure the Drive guys will talk about it coming up in just a few minutes. Tomorrow, we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We'll have Chris Gordy of Locked.SEC. And we'll talk a whole lot more about the biggest news in the world of sports. That's from 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.